The following podcast contains language that is not suitable for everybody.
This week on Super Skull, we are joined by a very special guest. Other than that, episode is normal, so dive on in. We're excited for you to listen. I'm just the kind who will break your heart.
What was your what was the tattoo that you almost got when you were, where were you?
I was in Interlaken, Switzerland. Mm-hmm. I'd been backpacking Europe for a little while, and I had done some pretty extreme things in Switzerland. Interlaken, Switzerland, the adrenaline capital of Switzerland. So like
that's true. It's known. You're not just saying.
No,
that.
Yeah, dead serious. It's known for like its base jumping, bungee jumping, mm-hmm. all this stuff.
I see.
And
you spelunk?
I did not spelunk. No. Okay. No, but I was there and I was doing some of this adventure stuff and I was staying at a hostel with some people from all over the world and I was after drinking quite a bit, I was like, oh, I'm gonna get a gecko tattoo.
Because when you think adventure, you think gecko first.
Well, so I had on my Wrangler, I had a little gecko vinyl.
Mm-hmm. Why?
It may have come with it from the previous owner. And yeah,
and you're a loyal consumer of Geico.
Maybe. And I was like,
the Geico gecko.
I was like, in my brain, I was like, my Jeep Wrangler is a very rugged vehicle. I feel very rugged right now because I'm backpacking the world. My Jeep Wrangler has a gecko on it. I'm going to get gecko tattooed on my foot so that I can always remember this time that I've traveled the world.
I see.
Like an animal, like a spirit. It was like my spirit animal.
None of that makes sense. your train of logic is.
Yeah, I was 21.
Ludicrous.
And I was, you know, like out couch surfing Europe. So I thought in my mind it made a really good. But I went to go get said tattoo in Interlaken, Switzerland, and the gentleman was like, no, there's no way I'm going to give you this tattoo. A, because foot tattoos rub off.
Uh-huh.
B, you have a month left to backpack. I don't want to tattoo your feet because you're going to shove them into hiking boots. And that was the reason he gave.
He didn't say it was a stupid idea?
Nope. He didn't indicate that at all.
This man is your guardian angel. You
Maybe.
Realize that, right?
He yeah. saved your You should write life.
Thank you.
Yeah. But yeah, that was Interlaken, Switzerland. Everyone should go. It's a very beautiful town.
Interlaken is the name of the town.
Is the town, yeah.
It's not the music camp in Michigan.
It is not the music camp in Michigan, no.
Okay.
It is a town in Switzerland. It was great. But yeah, almost got a gecko
tattoo. Sweet dance move, though, also.
The Interlaken.
It Interlaken. Is. The Inter-Poppin-Lockin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I do it for you right now, but it's like an audio podcast.
Yeah. Not a visual medium, yeah, but exactly. Just imagine it. It's better left to the imagination.
Absolutely. I think so.
I'm just saying, I'm going to revisit the gecko tattoo idea now that I'm thinking about
I
it.
I think you should, 100%. I think you should.
Yeah.
All righty, welcome to Super Skull, your weekly New Comic Day audio digest from Vault of Midnight, Earth's finest comic books and stuff since 1996. My name is Nick Weibar. I'm joined by Curtis Sullivan.
What's happening? Happy to be here.
How you doing, pal?
I'm doing really well. I got my Vault Tech t-shirt on for no reason.
What's Vault Tech?
It's from a video game called Fallout, a series of games.
Yeah.
Fallout 4 dropped today.
Nobody cares about that, though.
Nobody gives
Nobody's
a shit.
Really excited about yeah. that. So. That's not all. I'm here with Marcus Schwimmer.
Yeah, more importantly, new StarCraft expansion dropped today. Woo!
You guys want to talk about video games? You want to talk about comic books?
It's a big video game week this week, my
Is
friend.
Is this a video game podcast?
That oh, maybe.
I thought we were.
No,
it could be.
Yeah.
Anyways. And we're also joined by Ming Chen.
Hello, everybody.
How you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. Huge honor to be here.
It's an honor to have you on the show. We're here with Ming Chen. He's a host of the comic book podcast, I Sell Comics. He's one of the stars of AMC's Comic Book Men, the unscripted series set in Kevin Smith's comic shop, Jay and Silent Bob's Secret Stash, out of New Jersey.
I'm also a gamer, just a heads up, Star Wars Battlefront, 7 days and counting.
You too, Ming?
Oh, nice.
I felt left out. I had to jump in with that.
I'm actually super excited about all those things you guys mentioned.
Say, don't front, Nick. You know you're going home to play Fallout 4 tonight?
I am not even here right now. In my mind, I'm already at home playing Fallout 4.
Nice.
So you guys want to talk about some comics or what? We're honored to have Ming in the studio with us. This is awesome.
Thank you. This is weird. This year in particular, I've learned just all these weird things from my past from about 20 years on have been coming back in my life lately.
Really?
And that includes Curtis, who is sitting here to my left.
So you guys have a little bit of history.
We have a lot of history.
That's true.
I started coming into Vault of Midnight, I believe, in the first or second week of operation back in 1996. Mm-hmm. Back on that first floor in a brown house on Ashley Street. And I was taken there by a friend. I don't know if you remember this. My best friend brought in these vinyl kits that he had bought in Asia. and he was trying to sell them to you.
Okay.
And thank God you guys were being so nice to him, because I know I saw the look in your eyes like, I don't want this crap. These are probably bootlegs. And I'm saying all this because I know he's going to listen to this podcast.
Yes.
But you were nice enough to be like, you know what? We're going to put him in this unused corner here and sell him on consignment. If we sell them, we'll give you a piece. But he dragged me along with him. And back then, I thought there was only one comic book store in town. I don't know if we're going to even mention that guy.
There were some other comic books.
There were some other shops.
Yeah, but you know, I would go in there and the guy would, he was very judgmental, wasn't very nice, wasn't a welcoming environment. Mm-hmm. And then subsequently, I didn't buy anything from him. I walk into your store, I see all these amazing books, and I had fallen out of comics for a while. So you guys got me back in. You guys sold me my first copies of Preacher, Spawn. You didn't laugh at me when I got Gen 13 and later Deviate.
We were all reading that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were right there with you, man.
Yeah, and you know, I was 19, 20. I mean, there were only two reasons that I was reading Gen 13. What were they?
It's definitely not Caitlin Fairchild's assets. That's for sure.
No, or her, you know, or her powers.
No.
But you know, you guys were always welcoming, and suddenly I came back every week, every Wednesday, would watch the clock ticking down as I was in class, just waiting for that moment I could run down to pick up my new books. But not only that, just so I could talk to you and Steve, and when Liz was in, I would talk to her as well. And you know, you guys became my friends. You guys really encouraged me, and you know, I say to this day, I would not be where I am right now without you guys.
Wow, so, man.
I mean, it's really true. I wouldn't be on AMC. I mean, I probably wouldn't be working with Kevin. Just that whole spark really got me. Really, really, just set me on a cool path in life. So thank you.
That's incredible, man. Thanks for being one of like the six customers that came in.
How could you
every
not?
Week
I would come in. You guys had a train running around the place. There was a whole stormtrooper army. It was a really, really cool environment, and one that
model train. I'll never forget that.
Yeah, that was great. Yeah, we didn't know any business stuff, but we really were into it.
Yeah.
You know? So I have a couple good friends of mine who do businesses themselves, and they're very passionate about their business, and the business part comes later. And that passion part is, that's what got us, that's why we're still here.
I think
you know,
that's
we didn't
one,
know any better.
That's one thing that really stuck out. I was like, wow, these guys really, really love Spawn and Vertigo Comics. And I was like, wow, if they love it this much, this has to be good.
It was infectious in a big way.
Yeah.
It really was. And, you know, I looked at you guys back then, but even now, I was like, wow, you guys were not the suit and tie prototypical small business owners of the day. You guys are just... took this love for comics and you wanted to share it with people and make it your life. And I really latched onto that. And you know, the whole lesson is, do what you love.
Absolutely.
And that's what you guys did.
Yep.
And, you know, you started in that little storefront, moved to a bigger storefront later on. Now, about 2 years after I met you guys, I moved away, tried to, you know, toured the world, went into the corporate world, got a job, all that. So I kind of lost touch with you guys for a while. And then a couple of years later, I come back, heard you moved on to the store on Main Street. And I just remember looking for the address. I'm walking down and turning to see this enormous storefront.
Yeah.
And I felt this rush of pride. Just, you know, I felt so happy that you guys had built this empire, this Eisner-winning comic book store. But I just remember that first. I looked at it, I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
What? Did these guys win the lottery or something? Like, did these, you know, I... but no, I mean, you guys built through hard work and passion and love this Vault of Midnight Empire. And I'm happy to be able to just, it's always one of my first stops when I come home.
That's so cool, man. It's so weird. It's not weird, but it's just interesting where life takes you. And now here we are.
Yeah, here we are. And now we're podcasting. This really is an honor. Yep. You know, as a fellow podcaster, I love being behind a mic, but I love being behind a mic with people I love. So thank you guys.
No kidding, man. And Curtis, this is like, I've heard that version of that story. I don't want to put you on the spot, Curtis.
Thanks.
And make you feel emotional.
Okay.
But I've heard a version of that story so many times of people that feel invested in you and invested in the place and like the story of how their lives are just totally changed because of what you and Steve did.
Yeah.
And what's that like?
It's super weird.
Is it a little weird?
It's super weird because there's so many people that I love so much. There's a guy named Les that's been shopping at the store. Mm-hmm. Since the beginning, and him and his son used to come in, and we used to watch kung fu movies all the time, and he'd never heard of Jackie Chan. And they blew their minds. And still to this day, I hear from him and his son. His son's gone off to college. He comes back. He makes sure he stops at the store. But they went down this kung fu. They went down the journey. They watched it all. Shaw Brothers, Jackie Chan, Jet Li, everybody. And still to this day, my dude comes in and, you know, thanks for showing me Jackie Chan,
mm-hmm.
which I didn't know I was doing. We just sat around the comic shop, you know, and ripped bongs occasionally on the back porch and, you know, watched Jackie Chan movies because there was no customers.
Yeah, meanwhile.
There was like Ming Chen and, yeah. you know, me and Steve. And, yeah.
and lives are being changed meanwhile.
Somehow. And, you know, the weird thing is like Ming met Christian, I think.
Yeah.
First time.
Yep, yesterday.
And that cat's been around since day one, mm-hmm. too, just like young Nick over here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty weird that we're all still together in a way.
I love how Vault has suddenly become this like home for wayward children.
There you go.
Yeah. And you know, I don't know if you guys have superpowers or not, so I can't call it like gifted and talented.
no, not that.
Wayward children.
Just wayward.
Just wayward.
Just wayward. Yeah.
No gifts or talents.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Christian knows a lot about comic books and kung fu movies. You know, Nick is administratively super talented and a great writer. Those are powers.
Yeah.
So. And what's Marcus's power then?
Marcus is just so lovable and cute.
It's just his gigantic heart.
Thanks, guys.
It's like no matter what he does, potential gecko tattoos, mandals.
Yeah.
He's really good at drinking Tecate, too. I witnessed that last night.
Yeah,
so.
we cracked a couple Tecates last
time. Oh, my stomach just turned when you said the word Tecate.
It was great. No, we had a good time.
It's Pride of Tijuana.
Tecate, the...
the official sponsor of the Super Skulls podcast.
This week, yeah. Tecate,
yeah.
for when there's nothing else available.
Oh, come on, no. A nice cold Tecate will get you through a long day.
It better so cold you can't taste it.
Oh, come on.
Ideally. So, Ming, you're a customer of Vault of Midnight, and now you're on a TV show about comic books. You're hosting a pretty huge podcast also revolving around comic books.
Yeah.
What's the meanwhile? What brought you to that point?
It all started with Curtis,
mm-hmm.
and then around the same time, I built a Clerks fan website here. I was trapped at the University of Michigan at a computer lab.
Mm-hmm.
It was a snowstorm that day, and I decided just out of the blue to build a Clerks website. What I actually did was earlier I had gone to Tower Records, bought the Laserdisc, if you guys remember those.
Oh, yeah.
And this Laserdisc had a bunch of extras on it, cutscenes. Commentary. There's a little scene, music video. Ripped all that off, put it online for this said website, and Kevin saw it. And thank God he's a forward thinker.
I was gonna say he was cool with it.
Yeah, if you did that now, you'd get a
cease and desist,
letter. They would threaten to throw you in jail and fine you all this money. Kevin saw it and he was like, "Whoa, this is great." Yeah, he was more concerned about more people seeing it.
Mm-hmm.
The Laserdisc market, very niche.
Sure.
Yeah, this is way before DVDs.
They didn't really catch on.
No, it was the price. Each, you know, minimum you're spending $40 per movie. So
yeah,
and you had to buy a special player. It was a pain in the ass.
I like how you had to flip them halfway through the movie. That was pretty cool.
That was a buzzkill for sure. Yeah. You're getting into like seven. You know, you're about to find out what's in the box, and then you got to go over and flip
that
disc. But Kevin, being the forward thinker, was like, "Hey, I love what you've done. I would love for you to work with me to build a site for my my up and coming production company." This was right before he went into production on Chasing Amy. That was 1996, 20 years ago, and I've been working with him ever since.
That's totally bonkers.
So you're involved in his production company. You made you did a cameo in, it was Dogma,
right? It was Dogma, yeah. He threw me in the movie Dogma shortly after, and he was like, "Hey, show up on Pittsburgh at this time, this date."
Mm-hmm.
And I did, and I'm like, "All right, what do you want me to do?" He's like, "Well, I want you to sit next to me and Jay and Silent Bob."
You didn't know that's why you were going to be there?
No, he said he was going to throw me in the movie somewhere.
Okay.
I'm like, "All right, you throw me in the background. I'll be in a crowd scene." But he's like, "No, why don't you sit next to me and Jay? We'll be Jay and Silent Bob. You'll be strip bar patron number one. And what I want you to do is watch, this is Miss Salma Hayek here, you know, meet her. She's going to be taking her clothes off. I want you to act like you're having fun."
Wow.
And I'm like,
All right,
I guess I could do that. And if you watch the movie, I look like I'm having fun.
Yeah.
Here's the killer, though. You can only see me on the widescreen version. Do you remember a thing called pan and scan back in the day?
I try to forget that.
Yeah, where they would cut off the left and right side to make it fit, 4x3 televisions.
Yeah.
And I'm not there. I'm nowhere to be found.
Shit.
Because they've panned and scanned and cropped me out. So I'm telling everybody I'm in this movie to look for me. They buy the VHS tape, and they're like, "You're a liar. We didn't see you in that scene."
Should have got it on Laserdisc.
Yeah, you should have got it on Laserdisc.
That's what you
idiot.
Did.
Yeah. But I am there, and thank God for DVDs and wide, you know, widescreen's the norm now. So
yeah, so they don't make a liar out of you.
Yeah,
so there's proof.
Yeah, so I'm there. But yeah, a lot of crazy things happen when you work with Kevin. That led to podcasting and the Smodco Network and the ISO Comics podcast, which then led to Comic Book Men. Oddly enough,
the podcast led to the show.
One of the podcasts we do on the network led to the show, a podcast called Tell 'em Steve Dave. It is a podcast starring Brian Johnson and Walt Flanagan from the TV show, as well as Brian Quinn from the TV show Impractical Jokers. And they would call me in for to make fun of me whenever, you know, there'd be just, I would do something egregious in their minds. They would call me down and make fun of me. And AMC heard these podcasts and that became that played in a big part of why we got onto the TV show,
because of them making fun of you.
Yes, and which they still do on pretty much every episode.
I don't like that anybody makes fun of you, Ming. That bums me out.
I know a lot of people. I go to all the cons now, so I get a lot of people coming up to me like, "Hey, man, like, you know, why don't you stand up for yourself? Why do you let them pick on you?" I'm like, you know what, look at the guys making fun of me. There's you know, the grumpy old comic book manager who you know doesn't like anything. There's the big bearded guy who up until very recently lived in his mom's basement.
Who's not employed
and
by
is
the
not
secret
employed.
Stash.
Yes, he's not. He's not had a real job since 2007. So we're going on 8 years now. I'm like, you know what? If it
makes them feel better, then enjoy it.
Exactly. Yeah. You always look at the people making fun of you, and they're like, all right, we're good.
Well, Ming, if it ever gets too much and you need a posse to roll in, you give the vault a call. We'll show up with chains and bats.
Oh, yeah.
We'll come to your aid.
I got my own personal warriors.
That's
here,
right.
We'll my come. Baseball furies
ready.
Here.
We
put me we're
in.
Here for you.
We've been actually practicing for our own show. Then we've been making fun of Marcus for a year on this podcast.
Shit.
So you're the me at Vault. You're the Ming Chen of Vault.
You're in pretty good company, my man.
Well, it's great. Man, that who's yeah, no.
That I turn guess, it all around for you?
Yeah, it makes it so much better.
It's worked out though. I notice the female audience is kind of latched on. Not latched on, but they sympathize toward me.
Interesting.
Like,
so, good to know.
Use it.
Yeah.
Use it, Marcus.
Yeah.
Use the force.
So the and now you do you work you put in like actual shifts in time
at
the
store
at the shop.
I ring people up I do whatever Walt wants me to and
you're on the front lines.
I am on the front lines. You know they're really only it's really me Mike and Walt. It's not a huge staff.
No other staff.
Yeah, that's due to two reasons. The store really isn't that big. You know, you see it on the show. I'm bad with square footage, but it's you know, it's nowhere near as big as Walt is. We don't have a cool basement full of back issues like you do. And two, Walt only hires people he trusts and that he can stand for long, short periods of time.
Which is a lot of people?
It's me and Mike, basically.
Got it.
Yeah, the famous story goes, Walt and Kevin met at a recreation center that they both worked at back in high school. And Walt worked there first. They hired Kevin later. And Walt and Kevin sat next to each other for 9 months. Before they ever really said a word to each other.
Oh, man.
9 months. And yeah, I've gone through, I feel like it's like an initiation with Walt. You kind of hang out with him. He doesn't really say much to you unless you can impress him somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And with Kevin and Walt, it was, it came down to Kevin talking about Batman one day, and he was kind of talking out of his ass. He brought up the term Aunt Harriet, and Walt was like, no, that's not Batman. Mm. That Batman TV show, that's not Batman. Next day, bought him a copy of Dark Knight Returns.
Aha!
And that said, the rest is history, basically.
I can see that changing your whole trajectory.
Somebody break down Aunt Harriet for the listener. Anybody?
Oh, I'm not familiar with the term. I mean,
this was in the show, in the Batman 66 show.
Yeah, is this a topic we don't talk about?
We just don't even get into that.
Okay, yeah, you know, some days you just can't get rid of a bomb. Yeah, that's you don't need to know that. Yeah,
you don't want to blow up those sharks. They're you know.
Yeah, they're endangered or
they're
something
aquatic
like that.
Creatures.
Yeah.
But, I think comics has changed the paths of pretty much all of our lives if you watch Comic Book Man or if you follow Kevin or Jason Mewes. I mean, the comic industry, the comic storylines have changed, really, really changed all of our lives. So, God bless it.
Absolutely.
Yes. Absolutely.
We're agreed.
I have no other skills, so I mean, quite frankly, my skill is reading comic books.
Yeah, thank God it's popular.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah, but now you're a professional podcaster. Now we can talk about comic
books.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah.
And call it a profession, a skill. something that can that can inspire, and you know, it's still in its infancy, but we will rise to the top. We will be recognized as high class, not a lowbrow profession.
We're getting there.
I agree with you.
I think we're getting there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Slowly but surely.
No, everyone will read comics at some point in the world.
You think? You're calling it?
I'm calling it right now.
Yeah.
I mean, and by that, I mean as much as people watch movies or read books.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It'll be a thing that's just a thing that people do everywhere.
And it won't be a niche thing. It won't be a weird thing. It's just, you should read comics. You watch movies, you should read comics.
Yeah. You like stuff that like looks good and reads good? Do it. It's going to happen.
Agreed.
And everybody's going to wear a superhero outfits casually.
Yeah.
Day to day. I predicted that like a year ago. Hasn't happened yet. It's fucking going to happen.
I'm still not sold on that.
No, me
neither.
But yeah.
Well, when you guys see half capes just casually going up and down the street, I called it.
Remember Curtis.
That's right.
Yeah, I think you're an authority to call this. Now, I mean, you've been reading all your life, but you started the store about 20 years ago when none of this was really cool. None of this was really mainstream.
It was like the death of comics.
It was a very bad time to open a comic book shop.
Yeah. Everybody's superpower was guns. Nobody was reading. Shops were dropping like flies.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and that's when you thought let's start a
the time
store.
Is now.
Yeah, the
that's
time
right.
is now. Let's grab strike the iron while it's hot.
20 or 30 years from now, if I stick with it, maybe it'll all work out.
I don't see you stopping, my friend. Nor should you. I do want to walk into the store when I'm 75 and
oh, yeah.
Still want to buy. By whatever reboot that Marvel's
exactly.
trying to pawn off on us.
Yeah, well, I have no other options, so it's this.
So it better work.
No,
that's right.
I look forward to the day where Nick and I come into the store and we pull out the chair and set it right by the cash register.
That's
and
Curtis's chair.
Curtis just comes in and has a cup of coffee and just talks to all the customers.
Old man Curtis.
Yeah, just bring him in and he can just... talk about the glory days.
And he can, and at that point, oh my God, at that point he can say whatever crazy shit he wants because he'll be so old that nobody will care.
Yeah, he's a folksy old guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just wildly offensive. It doesn't even matter anymore. Like, oh, that Curtis.
He's so old, it's fine.
We forgive him.
I look forward to that day.
Don't you do that anyways now?
We do that now, but there's definitely some cringing moments when it's like, Curtis, you just shouted that. There's a room full of kindergartners in here right now.
That never happens.
A first grade class just walked in.
That's never happened.
Oh, you're talking about the Sullivan effect.
The Sullivan effect.
Yeah, is there a large group of infants at the store?
Curtis just said something horrible.
Exactly.
All right. Well, usually when we have an honored guest, we usually do like a highfalutin interview and we just talk to you for a while, but Ming knows his shit. So we're just
going to do a
normal comic book, new comic day roundup. What do you guys think?
Let's do it.
And we'll just do business as usual. Do you want to do the honors? Do you have a big pick this week, Ming?
I do. I have Southern Bastards, number 12, written by Jason Latour, art by Chris Bruner. I got a little story behind this one. I don't know if you haven't picked this up. You must pick this up.
It's the best.
It is the best. I did not hit it on its initial run. I don't know if it was the title. I don't know if I was busy that week and I never got into it. But I was at New York Comic Con about 3 weeks ago. And near the end of the con, I rolled over to the Image booth. And people asked me, what's the best thing about being on a TV show about comics? The Image booth was like, listen, we don't want to take all this with us. Take whatever you want.
God,
what?
That's awesome.
Take whatever you want. And you know, like piles of trades. And in my head, it's like, well, yeah, I want one of everything.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to be that guy, you know, because they were going to go back. It's like, can you believe that? The little Chinese dude from...
you should have been that guy.
Rolled in and took all 30 trades that we had rolled out. So
next time, just tell us for your homie Nick, and you just got to mail it all to him.
Yeah. Just deflect the blame on them. Yeah. But, you know, so I picked up like six. I picked up Sex Criminals Book 2.
Yes.
I picked up like Manifest Destiny. I picked up a bunch. They were like, listen, if you were to pick one here, grab Southern Bastards. This was coming from Image themselves.
Nice,
really.
Like, if you're gonna pick anything, pick. This is the one you want. So I grabbed it and I loved it. And you know, I've been trying to preach the gospel to everybody else. And they're like, well, what's it about? I was like, well, it's about a bunch of Southern bastards.
Yeah.
There's a little intro in the first trade. Jason Latour and Jason Aaron, the two guys who created it, and this is a slice of life. In the South, you know, maybe not this extreme, but there is a lot of truth into what we put in here.
Mm-hmm.
The love of football, the restaurants, you know, even some of the violence.
I know that essay there. That you're talking about. It's fantastic.
It's great. They're both from the South.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I whipped through that first trade, immediately bought the second one, and I'm just trying to keep up with it. And issue 12 is amazing. If you've been reading, a little callback to something that happens in the past. There was a little kid, Tad, who was mm-hmm. hanging off the big tree underneath the grave of the sheriff. And if you remember, he gets beat up, gets put in the hospital, and they kind of go and revisit that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's... it might be a little revenge. I don't want to spoil anything, but they're hinting spoiler. At revenge.
Sounds like spoiler. That's okay.
Sorry. Yeah, I just cut that out.
No. It's good. I love the way this book jumps around, too. You know, it'll do a 4-issue arc.
Yeah.
And then you'll go to the next one, mm-hmm. and then you'll see a little thing that speaks to a previous arc, and then it'll jump to a new arc. It's really nice.
Yeah, the focus, it's really about this whole town.
Yeah.
It's absolutely. About this whole, like, Craw County, is that the name?
Yep.
Yeah.
Is that what they call it?
Craw County, the Running Rebs, the big football team.
Yeah, and we just keep jumping around to all of these different characters. It just feels so fleshed out. It's not about just, like, one dude or one character.
Yeah, and what I love that this book has done from the start is there is no good and bad. It's great. Everyone's doing good stuff and bad stuff. It's just really wonderful how, like, everyone kind of flirts with that middle road, and it makes them believable, and it makes them, you care about them, because if someone's just doing good all the time, it gets stale.
That's that Jason Aaron special, man.
I know, yep. He's so good at it.
Every time you think you hate somebody, you feel bad for him, and you might love him a little bit in
exactly.
6 issues.
Or at least understand.
Yeah, and see where it's coming from.
Yep.
So I recently just ran into a friend who grew up in Alabama, and I'm sending him the first trade. I want to see, I really want to get his opinion on it.
Yeah.
Amazing book. And if you haven't started, go grab the trades. They're like $10 and you'll thank me later.
It's absolutely one of the best things I'm reading.
Yes, agreed.
Hands down. It's one of your go-to recommendos, Curtis.
I have a million favorite books, but the first two that always leap to mind right now are East of West and Southern Bastards every time.
Yeah.
I'm looking for a new book. The first thing that falls out of my mouth.
Yep.
It's easy to recommend because not enough people are reading it. I mean, a fair amount. But, almost always people are like, I haven't read either of those. Great.
And there's no fantasy elements. There's no superpowers. It's just character-driven stuff.
Totally.
Yep. Southern Bastards. Number 12 this week.
Nice.
Excellent. Nice pick.
Thank you very much.
Marcus, what do you got for us?
This week, all new, all different Avengers #1 drop. This is a book that I have been looking forward to for quite some time. Mostly because Kamala Khan finally on the Avengers. It's her dream. Come to reality.
Wow.
It's all Kamala's ever wanted is to be an Avenger, and now she's on the team. This book is written by Mark Waid, who's one of my favorite writers in the industry right now. The dude's killing it with everything he's doing.
True.
And this book opens up with some really wonderful dialogue between Sam Wilson, the current Captain America, and Tony Stark. And I just think that Waid is hitting it on the head with all these characters.
So I have not been sold on Sam Wilson. Just his characters is kind of flat for me, doesn't really do it for me.
Right.
This did it for me. Now nice. I get Sam Wilson after this book.
Yeah. And so Sam Wilson's responding to his disaster,
mm-hmm.
and he lands on this bridge, and all these Girl Scouts are like, buy my Girl Scout cookies, and he's only got $5, so he can only buy one. And it goes into, like, it's something that's so silly and preposterous.
But everybody's got their phone out,
and
there's a little black girl, and there's a little white girl, and he's got to choose one of them, and he's just like...
He just can't win.
There's no winning.
Yeah.
Tony Stark's in the background, like, laughing at him, basically.
Yeah, I thought it was great. Mark Waid's killing... I couldn't think of a person that I would rather have writing this book than Mark Waid. And the cover is done by Alex Ross this week, guys.
Very nice.
It's stunning. It's absolutely beautiful. I love it. But the book's broken up essentially into two sections. There's a Tony Stark, Captain America, Miles Morales section, and then there's a Kamala Khan, Miss Marvel, and Nova section. Both of them can kind of be read independently, but they're really setting the tone for the way this book's going to work. And I cannot wait for Nova and Miss Marvel to get into the actual Avengers and see how that mentorship's going to work out, who's going to mentor who, how that relationship dynamic's going to take place. Mark Waid is great at writing this kind of stuff. It's his bread and butter.
Yep.
So I think this is a great #1 to kick off a series that I'm very excited to continue to read.
So let me say this. I haven't read this yet. I've read a ton of comics this week. This is still in my pile. I didn't love Uncanny Avengers.
No.
What, last week's release?
Last week, I mm-hmm. think. Ryan Stegman.
Yeah,
it's not my jam. It was okay.
Mm-hmm.
New Avengers also ho-hum. Like, I didn't hate it. It was okay.
Yeah.
I can't even tell you anything about those
books. You know, it's got the maker in it, so, like, I want to like it. You know, alternate universe, Reed Richards, who's totally badass, one of my favorite Marvel characters, or newer Marvel characters. Very interesting. I hope this is the Avengers book that I want.
I think it is, and what I love about it is I love the age range that we're seeing in this Avengers makeup. Tony Stark probably in his late, you know, early to mid 40s at this point.
Yeah.
And then, we, you know, at the bottom end, we have Nova and Miss Marvel and Miles Morales as kind of a late teenager.
Mm-hmm.
And that's super interesting to me that, like, in the Marvel Universe, we have superheroes of all age ranges. Why wouldn't we all see them on a team? Why have we always had to classify as, like, this is the kid team and this is the teen team and this is the adult team? I love that we're mashing them together. And I think that's going to be so interesting.
It's got teens in it. And that's why you like it.
Don't say it like that. Say it like that.
It's not in a weird way. You love teenagers.
You love
comic
teenagers,
books,
Marcus.
My man.
I do.
It's not creepy. It's okay.
I just like.
We don't have to make it creepy, but you do.
Well,
you
I do. No, I like that aspect because like they're very wide eyed and the world is their oyster and they always need to find a mentor, and that's so much more interesting to me than like I've been a hero forever and I can never do wrong. Like that's boring. The teenage aspect, like that newness, and they're trying to figure out themselves while they're trying to figure out being a superhero. That's super interesting, and they dive into that with this new Avengers book.
Yeah, and you know, old guard folks might want your classic Avengers team. You might get some poo-pooers, you know.
Yeah, fuck those people. You know,
yeah, but for me, what I was gonna say is, I love the way they're mixing in some of the most kick-ass current new Marvel characters: Miles Morales, Miss Marvel, Jane Foster as Thor. Those are important, badass characters. Some of the best characters Marvel has. They should be on the Avengers.
Absolutely.
With the old guard, with your Cap, with your Iron Man.
Well, and it just makes sense. Good mix. Like, you're not always going to be the Avengers, so why don't you get some of the new blood in there so that when you do want to move on to other things or, God forbid, retire, you have a group of people who've like been training under you for a while.
We find out pretty early on here that they're like, is no Avengers team right
not
now?
Currently.
Like, technically, there are no Avengers proper.
Right.
Because there are different heroes doing different teams and different stuff, but there's nobody that's called that. There's no Avengers Tower anymore. Stark sold it or whatever.
Yeah, it's getting rebuilt again. He makes a kind of a joke about that Tony Stark's loaded, but he's not actually that loaded because he always has to rebuild Avengers Tower.
That's money.
But there's a great scene where they're debating, like, who should be on this new Avengers, the new Hulk or the new Captain America? And it's like, that's what we do for a living. So it's really cool to see someone do it in the book.
So when they say new Hulk, they mean Amadeus Cho?
I believe so.
Cool.
His hair is particularly styled in the image that they're using to
describe it.
So
I'm so into it.
Yeah, I love it. I can't wait.
It's just like how I like Peter Parker's new kick-ass anime hairdo in Amazing Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Dope.
So yeah, that's all new, all different Avengers number one. It's a great book. Check it out.
Nice.
Excellent pick.
Agreed.
Thanks, guys.
Curtis, did you have a pick this week?
I do. It's all new Wolverine number one. This book, I wanted it to be really great because it's X-23 has taken the mantle of Wolverine.
Oh, they're just turning another superhero into a lady.
I know. It's
For that liberal money.
That liberal money, man. It's big money. Tom
Classic.
Taylor is the writer on this bad boy. He's killing it. David Lopez and David Navarrete doing the art.
Mm-hmm.
Dogs, I love this book.
I was ready to ride the hate train on it because Wolverine's not my favorite. Never has, you know, he's never been on my top 10 list.
Yeah.
Why not, bub?
A lot of bubs, and he's always felt a little flat to me. That being said, in certain writers' hands, he obviously...
He's the best.
He's the best. But this book...
he's the opposite of what you just said.
But this book was phenomenal. It was great. You know what I liked about it? To me, it had a little bit of an early X-Men feel, like early X-Men. We have Angel makes an appearance, and X-23, again, is in that like figuring out who she is phase, and the two of them together, it gives a real nice classic X-Men feel in this modern setting.
She's rocking the yellow and blue color.
Oh, that's the best one.
Yes, dog.
Full Wolverine.
Love it. And there's a cool flashback, so you get to see some Wolverine.
Mm-hmm.
Spoiler alert, Wolverine's dead.
Yeah.
But,
shit.
I know. Leave that in. Everybody should know that by now. Yes, King Kong dies at the end.
This book was a slam dunk, though, in every way. I loved it.
It was big. It was beefy. I love the villain. The twist was great.
Yeah.
I love the odyssey that she's going to go on that's set up in this first issue. I mean, there's like a battle at the Eiffel Tower. This book killed it. I wanted it to be good. I'm not sure if I loved it more than I would have if my expectations were higher.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of blew it off. I wanted it to be kick-ass. I love X-23, one of my favorite newer Marvel characters. She doesn't get a lot of time.
What do you like about her?
In books. So her initial character, she's a clone of Wolverine,
mm-hmm.
And her skill set is that she's a tactical killing machine. So she has all the assets of Wolverine. She's got the claws. She's got the heightened senses, the speed, the regeneration. But she also is like has a tactical computer in her brain. So in the first early issues of X-23, she would analyze every battle very, very fast and just tactically destroy all opponents. I loved it. It was very well written.
Disciplined.
Yeah. She was, and so she was like what Wolverine was supposed to be, mm-hmm. just this super efficient killing machine, you know. But eventually she, you know, becomes a human.
Her heart grew three sizes and...
It did. She learned to love Christmas.
Yeah.
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 I'm going to blame Wolverine's wayward ways, his undisciplinedness to him being Canadian.
That's
yeah,
true.
Yeah, so definitely yeah. part of it.
I'll buy that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is X-23 Canadian?
I don't know.
I don't think she says she's not anything.
She's a clone.
She's
right.
a clone. Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. She's
I guess she's a Canadian then. If she's a clone.
Just kidding.
Just kidding, Canada. We love you guys up there.
I was a little worried about her rocking the yellow and the blue suit because it's the iconic Wolverine suit to
you
me.
You were worried about that?
Well, just like it could have been done poorly. Like I was worried that maybe she would have like a missing midriff.
Yeah.
Oh,
or
sure.
Or a boob window.
Right.
None of that. She looks so badass.
She totally slays. The reveal of
it.
The costume is
yeah.
just like, fuck yes.
Yeah, it's awesome. No boob window, no midriff. Huzzah.
Hasn't been done this good since the last panel of Hulk 180.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Right?
yeah. Getting old school.
yeah.
Yeah. And the cover's a nice throwback to a classic claws out, teeth barred, bared.
Looking pissed.
Looking pissed.
That's the thing is, like, she's got a lot of Logan in her, which is really cool. She's a tactician, but when she gets pissed,
yeah.
Maybe don't be around. Maybe go somewhere else.
So I was reading this book, and I was thinking about the different cliches of Marvel. It's clobbering time.
Yeah.
For instance.
Right.
Hulk smash
sure.
is another one.
Yeah.
Come on, we can keep going.
The bubs. I mean,
the bubs.
Yeah.
Sure. Avengers assemble. There's
to
a lot
me,
of
my X-Men.
To me, my X-Men. There's a lot of stuff that gets packed sometimes into Marvel books, especially in a first issue. Like, you feel like you got to do it because, like, that's
right.
the thing that you're supposed to do. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't.
True.
But I don't get tired of snicked ever.
No.
The sound that yeah. the claws gets S-N-I-K-T.
Yes.
I don't know what it is about that, but that just does it for me.
It's a true. Great onomatopoeia.
It is. Yeah. And it just works every time. I'm like, yeah, that's what that sounds like, and I'm excited by it.
And no bubs in this book either.
Not a single bub.
But
that's
I'm
true.
Excited. She's going to say bub at some point.
Oh,
and I'm kind of looking
yeah,
forward to
know
it.
I hope they hold off, though. It's got to be, they got to yeah. drop it like a beautiful bomb.
yeah.
Sknicked reminds me of my favorite Wolverine story, one of my favorite all time Wolverine stories. Susumu Nihai, who
Ooh,
did Biomega.
Yeah.
Did a Wolverine story called Sknicked. And it's like, Wolverine has to go to the future. He's the only one who can stop this. You know, the storyline's kind of cookie cutter.
Mm-hmm.
The art is holy shit good. It's been out of print forever.
I completely forgot about that book.
It's
that's
so
a really good book.
Effing good.
It's so called Sknicked, right?
Sknicked, that's the title of the book. If you can hunt this thing down, I might be butchering this guy's name. Nihai is his last name. He did a book called Biomega, manga that's about a cybernetic bear and this other badass dude.
Sounds like my jam.
Super good. Yeah. It's been out of print forever, but it's a hum-ding-a-linger. So, yeah, every time, still, I love the noise. Great onomatopoeia, but I also think, shit, that other Wolverine comic, very good.
The title refers to the sound effect of Wolverine's claws being extended, a metallic noise always written as snicked. Thank you, Wikipedia.
No shit, Wikipedia.
Really
thank
helpful.
You.
And that means there is a reference to that. So,
yeah,
know, that's a reference article. That
so we're
that
covered.
That, yeah.
Noise.
Excellent. All right.
That was my pick. All new
nice,
Wolverine number one.
Nice hot snicked. That didn't really work. Tried to turn Hot Pick into Hot Snicked.
Hot Snicked.
That was all new, all different, or just all new Wolverine number one.
Yeah, okay. Weirdly
they
enough.
They don't even know what they're yeah. doing with this all new stuff.
Nick, what do you got for us this week?
My pick was Superman, American Alien.
Sounds so patriotic.
Man, it was really, really good. So this is Max Landis doing the writing, Nick
uh-huh.
Dragotta is the illustrator. It's the story of young Clark Kent, who has no idea how to use his powers.
When you say young, you mean like, how old is he in this book?
Oh, he's got to be 10, 11 in this book.
Yeah. He's like a kid, a little kid.
Yeah, and so he'll wake up in the middle of the night and like fly through the ceiling.
Yeah.
Or he'll just, you know, crush something without even trying.
It's got to be expensive for the Clarks.
it seems like it's very difficult for the Clark family.
You just figure, yeah, like, oh, fuck, I got to redo the roof again.
I think the Kents have good homeowners insurance.
Yeah.
How do you explain that, though? What kind of deductible is in there?
Oh, Superman insurance alone will kill you.
Yeah. It's like, oh, another tornado or a lightning bolt hit our house.
A meteor went through the grain silo again.
Yeah, how many grain silos have these poor people been through?
Well, you can put that kid to work, though. Like, he can haul some lumber.
That's true.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, there you go.
Good point.
But he's, like, super stressed out. And it makes you realize, first of all, they do a really good job of like of showing how stressful it is for a kid who, like, this thing is happening to him. He doesn't know what's going on. And also how awesome Ma and Pa Kent are.
They're so cool.
Because they are, like, clearly stressed out by this whole thing, too.
Oh,
and it's like,
sure,
it causes a lot of strain on them. And they're, but still, he's, like, trying to talk his son through it and trying to, like, tell him that everything's okay, even though they have no idea that everything
they're flipping
is okay
out
at all.
Yeah. But they keep it on the inside so they can not flip him out further.
Yeah, this book had so many good dad moments.
There's some great dad moments
in this
book.
Oh my goodness, the best dad moments.
There's this moment where Clark gets super stressed out. He's watching an alien movie at a drive-thru. He gets super stressed out, and he punches a bathroom mirror, and he just blows a hole through the entire wall, right? And later on in the book, he's talking about, man, I was just thinking about all the people that built that mirror, that installed that mirror, that were involved in the construction of that bathroom. And it's like, I punched all of them and I hurt all of them. It was just such a cool, you can just see like this nascent Superman coming into being. It was really, really great.
They have this big conversation and Dad Kent is like, look, just don't be a jerk. Like if you, anything in this world.
Yeah, it's like, it's okay that it's scary, but like don't, but just punching stuff makes you a jerk.
Yeah.
Don't be a jerk.
Yeah,
and it's really beautiful. Like it's a really beautiful moment in this book.
The way they talked about anger,
in
being a jerk,
mm-hmm.
like it's okay to be angry, but if you lash out and be an a-hole, that's no excuse. And I like that kind of talking. I like that's some good dad talking.
This is real good dad talking. And even you'd think there's, I'm always amazed when somebody's able to go back to the well on Superman and just completely surprise me at this point. Of all of the Superman books that I've read, that there's still like new stories to be wrung out of these characters, it's just, it blows my mind.
Yeah, I don't know if I've read a story. I mean, there has to be one, but have you read a story about 10-year-old Superman before?
Not that I can recall.
I can't
think
of one.
No. You know, you got your Superboy stories and your Legion stories, but he's like a teen. He's well into his teens at that point. But this is,
you might get a flashback or something at most.
Yeah.
But like a book that's just about that part of his childhood. And I thought it was really, really cool.
Very
I had
cool.
zero expectations for this. Also.
Yeah, nothing. But I said, you know, when I put it down, I told you and I stand by. It's like someone smashed an Archie and a Superman book together and it works. It's beautiful. I was so happy that you insisted that I read it because I probably would have passed it otherwise.
As soon as I read it, I was like, oh, Marcus is going to love this book.
Yeah.
Well, it's all small moments. You know, there's no big epic things in this book. I mean, there's a few, you know, he flies and things, you know, weird Superman type power things happen, but there's no cosmic threat or it's all these nice little
fight any bad guys
moments
in this book.
Yep.
And what I love is that it touches on the fact that like everyone, when you think of Superman, you think about this alien who has superpowers, but like as much as that is a part of being Superman, the other part is like, this is a dude who was raised in small town Kansas by two really wholesome people who cared about him. And he had a loving family, and that makes Superman who he is just as much as
true.
All the other stuff.
Yep.
And do you want to say Smallville?
I say what I say.
You said small town Kansas.
Smallville, Kansas. Thank you.
It's a pretty popular town.
Yeah, it's a pretty popular town. I also called them the Clarks earlier, so I'm just not doing it right now. But
Clarks from small town.
Yeah. But it's just a really important part of who Superman is, and I love that we're diving into this aspect of it.
Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah, he just dropped down from Krypton as a good guy. Yeah, he had to learn these morals, these values to make him what he is, the truth, justice, and American way guy.
And that's like a tough sell because Superman is impossibly good.
Yeah.
Like that's the whole thing about
sure.
Superman. And you get the sense like, oh, maybe with these two as parents and like in this, like I could see it.
Sure.
It could happen. You can turn into that guy.
Well, and you know, I get down on folks who's like, I don't like Boy Scout superheroes because there's like two in all of comicdom.
Yeah.
Captain America and Superman. Because, you know, I try to sell Captain America and Superman to people all the time. Well, not as much as I used to in my idealistic youth.
Mm-hmm.
Because people ain't trying to hear it. But, you know, you'll hear that, you know. I don't want a Boy Scout. I want a flawed character. That's 99.9%
That's true.
Of all of everything. Pick
yep.
something, right? So we need a couple of boy or girl scouts in the world.
Yeah, if it's totally cool. If it's done well.
If it's done well, yeah. Exactly.
They play an important role. They're the ideal. Mm-hmm. And you need to have that ideal in these universes for people to aspire to.
It's a tough bar to hit.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah, but if there are two dudes to do it.
Captain America and Superman?
Yeah, they're, you know what I mean? Like, they're the guys.
Yeah.
They're better than we deserve, always.
And I got to say, it was cool seeing Nick Dragata do something other than East of West.
Yeah.
Oh, it that's the same guy that does East of West.
Yeah.
I could not place it.
So it was wild to see. That's all I know him from. I'm sure he's done other comics.
Wow. Full color Nick Dragata is beautiful.
Nick Dragata, yeah, there you go.
I never realized. I did not put that together. That's awesome.
So there it is.
Excellent.
And you get 6 more issues of this. I believe it's a 7-issue
yep,
run.
I think you're right. I think
and,
you're right.
They're changing artists.
But it's not, you're right. It's not going to be Nick Dragata the whole time.
Mm-mm.
Gota?
I don't know.
Gota?
They both sound sweet. That's a sweet last name.
Yeah.
Dragata.
So that's Superman, American Alien, number one from
great
DC
pick.
Comics. Our picks this week, let's just round it up.
Yeah.
We had Southern Bastards, number 12 from Image Comics. Jason Latour writing this one. Not doing the art on this one. Art by Chris Bruner. Chris Bruner, thank you. We had Avengers, all new, all different Avengers, number one from Marvel Comics. Mark Waid on the mic. All new Wolverine, number one. And once again, Superman, American Alien.
Nice.
But that's not all. More stuff came out.
That's right.
True.
So we're going to do some pull box action. We're going to quickly run through some highlights of other things released this week. Marcus, you got anything for us?
Yeah, absolutely do. Titan Comics, who's a comic publisher from the UK, has hired Garth Ennis to write a book called Johnny Red. If Garth Ennis was put on this planet to do one thing, it would be to write great war comics, and he's done it again. Johnny Red is about a gentleman who has purchased an old British warfighter and is doing all the research behind finding out what happened to this warfighter before it became his possession. Great, great World War II book. The aviation illustration. Hey, guys, I like aviation comics. I
know
it's
that.
Weird. Yeah.
No, it's cool.
The aviation illustration in this by Keith Burns is some of the best I've seen yet. If you are a war comics fan at all, there's a great modern comic out for you this week called Johnny Red. Pick
is that
it up.
Historically accurate aviation drawings in that? Piece?
I wouldn't call myself an expert, but I've spent a lot of time around historic aircraft, and I would say that they're pretty spot on. Yeah.
Ennis is usually pretty good with that. And the cover on that book.
Yeah.
It's outrageous. It's a great cover.
I'm in deep love with it. You should check it out.
Excellent. Nice. Somebody hit me with something.
I'm going to go really quick. Twilight Children number 2 came out this week. It's Vertigo, part of their big relaunch, repush. Gilbert Hernandez, Darwin Cook. This is every bit as good as the first issue, but it got crazy weird. So check out Twilight Children number 2.
I'm so excited about that.
It's such a good book, y'all.
Ming, did you check out the first one, Twilight Children?
I did not, but I'm going to now.
Highly recommend it. It was crazy good. Darwin Cook, man.
It's great.
Captain America White, number 4. We're almost done with Captain America White. Kiss Watch, still on. I'm still saying it. Captain America, Bucky Barnes are going to kiss at the end of this.
We're running out of time for them to kiss in 2015. And
well, it's going
to
happen.
I'm not going to say it's going to ruin my whole year if they don't kiss,
right.
But
they need to.
It would be a nice
just
New Year's surprise.
Kiss and get it over with.
Just get it over with.
The tension is, you could cut it with a knife.
It's palpable.
That's palpable.
The Goddamned came out.
Oh, yeah.
This is Image Comics number 1, Jason Aaron and R.M. Guerra.
I think so.
And this is the team from Scalped.
One of the greatest graphic novels all time.
Fantastic book.
Hey.
Hey, Jinx, you're awesome.
Cool. Pinch Pokey, owe me a Coke.
Scalped is one of my favorite books ever, and this was not what I was expecting at all, The Goddamned.
We can't even talk about it.
No.
Because, shit, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? Just read this book. If you like Jason Aaron, if you're reading Southern Bastards, if you're checking out Thor or Thors, if you've read Scalped, dudes.
It is graphic.
The twist, though.
There's a good twist.
It's better than good. Nowhere. Coming out of nowhere.
I read preview pages for this book. I read the solicitation for this book. I did not know.
No idea.
What was happening. I was about it.
I'm super excited. There is a naked man fighting for the entire book.
Oh,
pretty much.
For lovers of Mandong,
yeah.
Just page after page of exposed man.
I don't
penis.
Think there's another book that for $3.99 has more dong per page for your $4.
I mean, maybe you can go by the Watchmen, but other than that, I cannot think of any dong. Dong for your book.
It's just out there. It's earning your money.
Yep,
that's the thing.
That's The Goddamned issue number 1.
Nice. Ming, you got one?
I do. All new Hawkeye number one, written by Jeff Lemire, art by Ramon Perez. I've made it no secret that I'm a big all new Marvel now Hawkeye fan, and this just continues to impress me. A little callback to the previous run where they had to rescue the three kids from Hydra and the consequences from that. But what I loved about this, they flash forward 20 years, and Clint and Kate still bickering like an old married couple. So you get a little look at the future. And much like I said at the beginning of the program, all the stuff you do in the past may affect you in the future.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Life is long. There's ramifications.
I love the flash forward. You see, flashbacks are a dime a dozen.
Yeah.
Flash forward, you have to be confident in what you're doing.
Because you're like showing the future.
Yeah, you're locking it in.
Saying.
And it works.
Yeah, but one of the things I've loved about these past few runs of Hawkeye, the interaction between Kate and Clint.
Yep.
I have friends like that too who will knock me off the pedestal that I keep trying to climb onto.
Yeah.
It's like, you're not so cool. Like, they just keep kicking me off, and I love it.
And it seems like it's coming to a head. That seems to be the focus of this, at least from the first issue. It's about those two.
Yeah.
And I'm into it. A whole run just about those two working out their shit is fantastic to me.
I'll watch a whole movie about that.
Absolutely.
Yep, for sure.
What else we got? Secret Wars number 7 came out
this
week.
Secret Wars number 7. I just want to read it over and over and over again. We talk about it all the time, how fucking cool Secret Wars is. This issue, there were so many moments in this book where I wanted to shriek out loud.
Mm-hmm.
The shit is hitting the fan, y'all.
This was the big Marvel crossover event.
Yeah.
Wrapping up here in November.
December now.
Yeah.
December.
It's going to be done in December,
that's
though,
what
right?
They claim. I don't buy it.
Okay.
But they hit the date for 7. So 8 is supposed to be like the 28th of November.
Well, we'll see what
and
happens.
And then 9 is like middle of December. We'll see if that's real.
I don't care. Take your time.
Yeah.
It's so good.
If who the last two people not reading this, I know it's a big crossover. It's confusing. Read it. Secret Wars.
The Ultimates has come out this week, and it's a superhero team-up made of superheroes that not a lot of people know about. If you don't know about Blue Marvel, you should go down the rabbit hole on this dude.
Great character.
He's a really cool character that hasn't gotten a ton of attention, but it's him, Miss America, Captain Marvel, Black Panther, who's going to become a huge hit here any day now, and they're all working towards trying to help Galactus.
Oh, when you say Miss America, you mean America Chavez?
Yeah.
I love her.
She's the best.
Yeah.
But yeah, Galactus is in this book, and he's huge, and he's awesome.
I love Galactus.
I know, and you're going to love him in this book. I know you haven't read it yet. It's awesome.
Right.
But Carol Danvers is one of my favorites. If you know me for 5 minutes, I'll probably tell you that. But her and Black Panther together, so cool. They make a really interesting team. He's the brain. She's the power. It's totally awesome.
Not to go back to Secret Wars, but everything you're saying is reminding me of Secret Wars. Franklin Richards hangs out with Galactus.
Yeah.
Black Panther kicks so much ass in this comic. Carol Danvers kicks. I can't say what she does, but is she so fresh?
So yeah. Secret Wars good.
It's still good.
From your recommendation a few minutes ago, you still stand by it.
That's right.
All right, excellent. There's a couple of thick-ass comics this week that came out that I'm really excited about. Really quickly, 101 Artists to Listen to Before You Die.
Ooh.
This is Ricardo Cavallo, who did a Daniel Johnston biography a few years ago.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys remember this. But it's just that. It's a drawing of a musical artist and a little bio of them and like the impact that it had on this dude's life. It looked really, really cool.
Wow.
I just gave it a flip through, but I'm kind of excited about checking it out. And Dinomania, The Lost Art of Winsor McCay. This is like a giant oversized like artist edition book that is it focuses on Dino, which is an unpublished. Winsor McCay is the dude that did Nemo, Little Nemo.
Didn't he do Gertie the Dinosaur, an animated?
That was an animated thing.
Okay.
Yep. And this is about a strip that never came to life and all of the influences that led up to him creating this strip that he wasn't able to finish before he died.
Oh, neat.
Yeah. And it's just like Winsor McCay is like, he's like an alien. Like at the time that he popped up and was making comics, we were not, the world was not ready for how talented this guy was.
He changed the shit.
Yeah. And you can see his influence just across comics right now. He's a fantastic artist and storyteller. And I'm really excited to check into this because of all the extra material that has nothing to do with Winsor McCay stuff, just the work that influenced him. There's a thing about like King Kong animation in there. And
awesome.
I'm telling you, we're seeing a moment right now where this like early comics, early Disney animation is having a little bit of a revival in a moment, and we're seeing a lot of these collections.
There's a lot of books coming out that's like a throwback to that era.
Totally,
classic stuff.
Yeah, and they're connected, absolutely. Like the early Disney era and the comics that are coming out at that time are totally connected. And these books are great. Nick and I were unpacking all the stuff we got today. And we're a pretty efficient team, I'd say, when we're unloading the shipment.
It's true.
And but when that book came out, both of us just stopped and we're like, oh, this is
what
so cool.
Is this?
Yeah. It's stunning. Stunning.
Nice. Hey, Ming, segue here.
Yes.
Who does the new Comic Book Tuesday at the Secret Stash?
Walt and Mike will do it. I'll jump in if they need help. But it's kind of one of those things where they've been doing it for years. And
I see.
I've had to do it if one of them got sick. And it gets to the point where Walt will be like, "You're not doing it, like Mike. Just stop, just stop. You're not him.
He's not prepared to train you."
Yeah, it's really weird. it's like I'm the only guy that can touch this.
I see.
And don't even look at it.
Wow.
And I'm like, listen, I went to college for God's sake. I think I can do that. But I'm gonna test to your skills. I came in today, and what I saw was completely masterful.
Oh, thank you.
It was poetry. It was just, you know, I'm going to talk you up a little bit.
Thanks, man.
But what I saw and what I experienced was quite impressive.
Yeah, Steve and I do the poll drop.
Oh, you witnessed the
drop, yeah,
the call and drop.
Yeah, sometimes you
what
find
is that for the listener?
So the way it works is we get all the books on Tuesday that come out on Wednesday. We mm-hmm. organize them by title, and then we pull them up in the computer, and we have almost 1,000 subscribers now at Vault of Midnight Ann Arbor. And Steve, I will say, this is the title, All New, All Different X-Men. And Steve will just start calling the numbers.
Three.
Yep. And I drop it in three.
Four.
Drop it in four. And we just do it for 1,000 people. And sometimes you just find someone that, like, you were destined to do a singular task with. And Steve and I are, we're a pretty good team on the old poll box.
You guys have it down to a science.
But it's a beast. How many subscribers do you have at the stash?
We've not as many as you guys do. I know you guys have 1,000. We might have like 200, if that. So,
I want to come see if I can get Walt's approval.
God,
there's no way.
I want to come drop.
Oh yeah, that's going to be tough. But I love how you said you guys use a computer. We literally have, it looks like a Trapper Keeper,
yeah,
with everybody's name in it and
That's how we used to do it.
Superheroes.
Yeah,
there.
We used to have a giant sheet that had 500 numbers on them, and it was just a pencil scribbling over the numbers of the people that were subscribed to a book.
Circle over the number. It would be like a page of 500 numbers, and then we'd circle. And then when we got over 500, we just started writing the numbers at the bottom and circling them with pen. But it was a nightmare. When you add somebody to a subscription, you have to make a paper form with their name and their phone number, pre-email, of course. And then you would go through and circle all the numbers on the corresponding title sheets.
It was an interesting process.
It was.
That's funny.
I mean, it worked. That was the thing.
That's true.
Yeah, if you haven't gathered, Walt Flanagan, very old school, very set in his ways, and you know, no computers, paper, pencil.
He's probably very proficient, though, at the old school way, though.
He is.
Yeah.
I mean, are there more efficient ways to do it? Sure. You know, but if we ever got hit by an EMP, oh, we're set. We're still
oh, you're good to go.
Fine.
Yeah. That's the thing.
We're still selling books.
Yeah. You're selling paper books. And you're accounting for them on paper. You're good to go when the shit hits the fan, which it's going to happen. Let's be honest.
We should get Marcus. We got to make a push to get Marcus in there to do the poll.
I'm going to push for it. Let's do it.
Just like see if he can hang, if you can make him happy, if you could cut the mustard.
We're pretty efficient. We do.
I don't know, but you know, here's the thing. You'd have to adapt to a different way of doing it.
Well, when I think
When
I think of Steve, co-owner of Vault of Midnight, I think of adaptable.
Flexible, adaptive, eaching.
No, it's great. Actually, doing the poll with Steve has like brought us pretty close to one another. It's been a really interesting process. But
it's so adorable.
I can't imagine doing it with anyone else. It's a blast.
You guys went and got Blimpy Burger today after the poll.
Yeah, we're kind of becoming an old married couple, the Stever and I.
I love it.
Yeah, it's great.
Fuck yes.
Excellent.
What has happened since I've been gone?
It's been a wild ride, man.
Yeah, man. I like it. I'm not saying I don't like it. I'm just like, wow, man.
Steve. You know, just everybody had kids, and, you know, we're trying to be better people. And
Steve and I love one another because we both love efficiency. And so we can meet on that beautiful mutual ground.
God, I just had this flashback. I remember when you guys first opened the store, and I think you gave out this piece of paper to everybody. It was kind of like a mission statement, and I believe Steve wrote it.
Probably did.
Talking about why you opened the store, how you guys love comics, and how you cared about us, the customer.
Wow.
And yeah, I might still have it.
Holy shit.
I don't throw away anything.
I would love to see that.
Yeah.
And how, you know, you guys were there for us, And that's, you know, that's why you opened the store. It was really sweet.
Yes.
You got to dig that up.
Yeah, if you have that.
So, and that just goes to show, this is not some new age bullshit, you know. We are hippies in our hearts, and by that I mean, you know, we want everybody to read comics and get along. We want to be a great place for people to come. But that was in our hearts beneath all the
absolutely
the weed and the spawn.
The skateboards.
You know, the skateboards and the punk rocker outfits.
Well, it has to be. Yeah, you guys would not have made the impact on as many people as you did if that wasn't just below the surface.
Yeah.
Just below the weed smoke.
Exactly.
Just a veneer of Nag Champa and weed smoke.
So there would be a time where, like, I'd be so slow at the comic shop, you know, in 1990, let's call it 1997, I would be barbecuing on a grill that was on a little tiny porch that was like, so we had beads, beads.
I remember this.
That went to the office.
I remember this.
And, you know, back in the office, and then I was on the porch, and I'd be like smoking a bowl and like barbecuing chicken. No shit. In the middle of the day, comic shop's open. Somebody would come in, you know, I'd pull the chicken off to the side.
I remember that. There'd be the little grill and then the little pile of comic shop news up on that little porch.
Saying. So there it is. No more grilling chicken at the shop. Now,
you know, I can't remember the last time we grilled chicken at the comic shop.
I am lamenting that now,
things
actually.
Things have changed. You're a sellout,
I'm
dude.
I'm a total sellout.
Yeah, you've changed, man.
Oh,
well,
shit.
We've used up all of our time, gentlemen.
Oh, great.
There's no time for anything else. Oh, we have a very quick listener question.
Oh, yeah.
If you guys have a second.
Yeah,
do
absolutely.
It.
And then we'll wrap it up. At Rich Matt on Twitter asks, really serious question. This might be the most serious question we've ever actually gotten on the show. What is the plural of Captain America?
Mm.
Captain's America?
Mm.
Captain America's.
I think Ming Chen nailed it with
Captain Americans.
Pretty damn
it's
good.
It's really good,
yeah.
Actually. I'm partial to Captain's America, but it's not as clever.
Which is weird, as me is not a native, Asian American, I guess.
Yeah.
But
well, I think you actually can see the big picture, my friend.
I guess so. This whole melting pot. We are all Captain Americans.
Yes!
I love that!
We can't do any better than that. We have to go out on that.
Is that a t-shirt? We are all Captain Americans?
It's the next I Am Groot, for sure.
I think you might be onto something, my friend.
Ming, thank you so much for hanging out with us, man.
Of course.
We'll probably do this before we leave.
Of course. I can't wait to come back.
Will you please?
Oh, absolutely. Every time. Please. I'm here. I'm always here for you guys.
It would be so excellent.
When you're in town, you're on the cast, if you can.
We're just going to commit you to that.
I'll
if that's
just be
cool.
Like, Mom, we can celebrate your birthday tomorrow. I got to be on Super Skull.
It'll be fine.
Yeah. Yeah. She'll understand.
She'll understand. She's a fan of the show, I've heard.
Oh, yeah. Huge fan.
So, Comic Book Men comes on every Sunday after The Walking Dead.
Yes, at midnight.
And I Sell Comics does that have a regular airing date?
It is. It's every Thursday as well on smodcast.com.
Excellent.
Nice.
Marcus, can you walk us out of this show, my friend?
Thus ends another issue of Super Skull, your weekly Vault of Midnight podcast. Our theme song was created by the Atomic A-Bomb. Our logo was designed by the image wizard, Philip Wong. Our producer is Rachel Polk. You can find us on our website, www.superskullshow.com, or wherever podcasts are found. I am Marcus Schwimmer for Nick Weibar, Curtis Sullivan, and Ming Chen, wishing you good reading. Until next week. Hey everyone, this is Marcus. On today's podcast, you might hear the gang give me a little bit of a hard time about almost getting a gecko tattoo on my foot while backpacking Europe. And I just want to say, you be you, listeners. If you want to get a tattoo or if you want to go on a spiritual quest across Europe, I encourage you to do that. Don't let these three old men discourage you from doing such. So yeah, get a gecko tattoo. You be you. I love you. Marcus out.